Praise the Lord. Let's start by handing these out. So, Felix, if you'll help me, just hand one per person of that one. While I switch mics here. Test, test, 1, 2, test. Test. Test, 1, 2. I think we're okay. Well, we got several things to cover today, so I'm going to get right into it. The gifts, spiritual gifts. So let's just start off by just kind of defining. The spiritual gifts are not the fruits of the Spirit. Right? The fruits of the Spirit, love, joy, patience, meekness, temperance. Those are not spiritual gifts. Those are characteristics that the Spirit puts in Christians. It's basically Jesus' character, right? That's who he is. So let's just block that out, right? We're not talking about the fruits of the Spirit. We're talking about spiritual gifts, right? And spiritual gifts are not talents, right? Talents. What's a talent? Okay, Ronnie has a talent to play the keyboard, right? It could be learned. Michelle leading songs, because a lot of times we think that the singing is a gift. Well, you know, it is and it isn't. It's a talent that God has given you, because there's a lot of people that can sing awesome that don't think about God at all. So that's not a spiritual gift, right? It's a talent given by God also, but that's a separate thing. And so I ask myself, so I'm just giving you these definitions so we can kind of clear out what we're talking about. I thought, look, what is a singer and a worship leader? What gift? Well, actually, the talent is singing or playing. The gift is evangelism, faith. Those things that you do when you're using your talent, and the power of God works through it. And so we want to get kind of distinguish the two. So right away, let's go. These are gifts defined in the Bible. Now, they may not be all inclusive. You might find one. I think this is a gift that I read in Scripture. So please don't take this as 100% final, but it's 90-95% there. There's a gift in administration. Some of you in this place have a gift to administer something. For example, an event. Some people can organize an event. Some people, you don't want them anywhere near it because they don't have that gift, right? But you do it, you have this gift that's given to you by God that when you administer something, administration. So let's just read it. To steer the body toward accomplishment of a God-given goal and directive, planning, organizing, supervising others. And there's this administration gift that's empowered by God in the church. An apostle is another gift to be sent forth to new frontiers with the gospel, providing leadership over church bodies and maintaining authority over spiritual matters pertaining to the church. How many of you know that you don't get saved and then have this gift? Right? You don't just like, oh, I accepted Jesus Christ yesterday. I'm going to be over this church now. Right? So as you can see, these gifts don't manifest themselves in our timing. These gifts, sometimes through the process of life and you being obedient, more gifts come later. Right? Like the talent, right? The story. You know, the one got 5 talents, used it, he got 5 more. Or was it 10? I forget the math. But so That's one example of a gift that comes because you're using your other gifts. And then these things just kind of keep going. God gives you more. God gives you more. So, apostle, discernment, a gift to discern, to clearly distinguish truth from error by judging whether the behavior of teaching is from God, Satan, human error, or human power. There's a gift of discernment. There's a gift of evangelism, to be a messenger for good news of the gospel. Preacher, I think a worship leader could land in this category too. You know, through your talents, you're evangelizing the word of God, the gospel. Exhortation, to come along someone, words of encouragement, comfort. I think this is a hidden gift that a lot of Christians are hiding. That there are people that can encourage people. And I'm not just talking about saying nice words. Power. All of these that I'm talking about, there's a power when you do it, when you use it. There's a power of God. Discernment, exhortation. And I believe this gift is like blossoming in a lot of you, where you can encourage people. In whatever they're going through. Exhortation. So encouragement, bring comfort, counsel to help them be all God wants them to be. So being able to elevate people to another level in Christ, right? Faith, to be firmly persuaded that God's power promises to accomplish His will and purpose, and to display such confidence in Him and His word that circumstances and obstacles do not shake that conviction. I love that. Faith, the gift of faith, spiritual gift. Things are crumbling, and you're just like, I don't care. God's going to take care of me. That's a gift. And the gift isn't for you. The gift is so that people can see your faith through obstacles of life, and they grow because of that. They get impacted because of that. So giving, to share what material resources you have with liberty and cheerfulness without a thought of return. Right? Not the Indian giving, right? We heard about the Indian giving. We're not talking about Indian giving. This is a gift that you give and you'd expect nothing in return. You just give and you help somebody. I want to bless people and that's it. You're not going to go talk to, I gave them so much and they don't even appreciate it. No. Then you were expecting something in return, right? A gift to just give them and just be happy. People have that gift. Healing, to be used as a means through which God makes people whole, either physically, emotionally, mentally, spiritually. People can have a gift of healing. Again, these are all empowered by the Holy Spirit. The gift of helps, to render support or assistance to others in the body so that to free them up for ministry. This is very important in a church, especially, right? You know, maybe you can't, you know, you're not ready to, you know, preach or to lead this or lead that. And there are other are, but you want to make sure that the people that are doing that are not occupied with the little things. Right? So you help so that you can free other people up to do things. Right? When you have a immature heart, that doesn't come natural. I don't want to help other people to look good. Right? But when you have this gift and it's from the Spirit, it brings you joy to be a help that someone else can do something else. You see? So it's an attitude of the heart. Hospitality, to warmly welcome people, even strangers. So those are the kind of people you want. You know, visiting people in the front door. Welcome to church. Welcome. And, you know, just have this kind of personality that is empowered by God to greet people, to be hospitable to people, and you just have that heart. A gift of knowledge, to seek to learn as much about the Bible as possible through the gathering of much information and analyzing of that data. So some people have a gift of knowledge that they just absorb knowledge from Scripture, and God gives you that. A gift of leadership, to stand before the people in such a way as to attend to the direction of the body, which with such care and diligence so as to motivate others to get involved in an accomplishment of these goals. So you have leadership, different than administration, right? Leadership is like a leader. Administration is kind of looking at a lot bigger of a picture, making things our ducks are in a row. Mercy, to be sensitive toward those who are suffering, whether physically, mentally, emotionally, so as to feel genuine empathy with those their misery, speaking words of compassion. This is maybe some of you are called to make hospital visits, right? And just bless people, right? You hear somebody's in the hospital, some of you, pastor better go. Right? Yes, you know, probably needs to go if it's a certain situation. But you see, remember what the underline, we are all called to service. How many people in the church always have you ever thought that before? Something's happening. Well, I hope pastor goes and gets that done. Right? How many of you ever thought, you know what, I'm going to go visit so-and-so in the hospital. Wow. I don't think I had a text like that yet. You know, how many years? 3.5 years? No, but. And then sometimes I don't get to go, and I'm sure one time I was out of town, and we had a situation, and I was in Las Vegas at one of my conferences, and one of the members of the church, his mom passed away, who I guess I've known for a long, long time, but you know, couldn't make it. And I didn't know till I got back that she didn't make it. I didn't get an update. But see, things like that, you know, one person can't do it all, right? Pastor Green, when I started pastoring, he gave me a Superman doll, and he said, if any advice I can give you is you're not Superman. If you get that, you're gonna be okay. What did he mean by that? You're not gonna go conquer the world by yourself. You're not gonna do all of it by yourself. And that's so true. So we're all called to service, mercy, miracles, missionary. Some people are called to just go out to different cultures. There's some people, and I met one girl that used to help us at the food bank. I don't remember, Norma remembers her, but the girl from the Bible school over here, the tall girl, Hannah. She just had a gift. She wanted to go to different cultures and be with kids and love them and youth. I mean, that was just, you know, she had the gift. And it was empowered by the Holy Spirit. And when I still see her Facebook postings every once in a while. A gift to pastor to be responsible, spiritually caring for, protecting, guiding, feeding a group of believers and trusting in one's care. This may not only be a pastor. Sometimes that could be a group leader, right? Like a home group leader or a leader of a group of people or a youth or singles or marrieds, or you can shepherd a group, right? So it's not just, it's just the heart, right? You have that heart to care for their well-being spiritually. So pastor gift isn't, well, so if some of you, when I read your gifts, if pastor comes out, you're going to think, oh my gosh, I don't want to be pastor. Well, maybe, maybe not. It means taking a group of people and shepherding them in a smaller role, in a pastoral role. What's that? Cell groups, right? Things like that. Prophecy, to speak forth the message of God to His peoples, the gift of prophecy, speaking on behalf of God, right? The gift of service, to identify undone tasks in God's work, however menial, to use available resources to get the job done. The gift of service to identify undone tasks, right? So you see something needs done, you know, don't wait to be asked. You know, always ask permission, right? You always want to let the people in charge know what you're doing, right? Accountability, right? Ask permission. But hey, I see that needs to be done. Let me see. Pastor, is this okay? I do this. That's when things start coming together and people are just trying to do whatever they can. Teaching, the gift of teaching. Some of you can teach the Word of God. biblical teachings, and that gift is empowered by God, and wisdom to apply knowledge to life in such a way as to make spiritual truths. So these are kind of basics. There's other ones like the gifts of tongues, the gift, but I didn't want to touch on those. That I had a whole lesson on that, and I don't want to get into that aspect, but just basically, these are the ones that came out on your questions that you did. So are you ready to find out which gifts you have? All right, well, let's find out here. All right, this is the part I've been waiting for. Let me see. So each one of you, I'm going to tell you, I got a copy for me and a copy for you, so you can take home. All right? Now, Albert called me before our church that he wasn't feeling well, so keep him in your prayers. I'll give that to him. Albert? Ronnie. All right, let's give Ronnie the copy. All right, the top two gifts that came out for Ronnie. You don't want people to know? No, everyone's going to know. Don't hide your light. Service and helps. Gift of service, I kind of see that in her. Gift of helps. Those were the strongest that came out in the way it weighs it. And then she had some other ones there, like discernment, exhortation, pastor, administration. And these were, if anything 10 or higher, are not nearly as indicative. But I wrote them down there, more or less 10 or below. But the top ones are service, helps, discernment, and then exhortation, pastor, administration, faith, giving, apostles, leadership, teaching, wisdom. Those are all, call it in their realm for Ronnie. So Ronnie, you can take that and look at the definitions, and this isn't 100% accurate, obviously, but it gives you some kind of indication about your heart, about how you answered. So I kind of see that in her. So that was Ronnie. Let me find a way to. Okay. Oh, Oralia. Yes, I saw her right there. Well, let me give you the copy. I keep the original. The top ones for Oralia, her top two was faith. Believing in God no matter what obstacles are hitting her. I see that in her. And hospitality. I see that in a gift in you too. Helps. And then the other ones there, mercy, pastor, service, giving. And so those are gifts that came out of this for Oralia. So any comments on Oralia on that? No? Okay. I won't embarrass anybody. She's like, Sam? Let's see. I can't tell which one the original is anymore. All right. His four strongest, he had a tie for first, is a gift of knowledge, of leadership, of teaching, and of wisdom. So that's kind of different than the rest of you. So that's what came out on his. And some others he had was discernment and faith, prophecy. So prophecy would be like, you know, maybe God put something in your heart to speak on God's behalf for somebody, some situation. Like, I don't know what it is, but I think I need to tell you this, you know, that kind. Administration, exhortation, pastor, service. All of those were under 8. So those are all pretty pretty high qualities. Any comments, Sam, on that? Like, I don't want to be the only one that comments. All right, Julie. Julie's top 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 is number one. The highest one was hospitality. Administration was the second. Helps, knowledge, leadership, and service. Those are kind of the top ones. and also had wisdom, faith, service, some discernment, and giving. So it's a lot of gifts there, but that's what came out of your answered questions. So they balance each other out. They have a ministry because they're all called to minister. Jose. I saw Jose. There he is. Probably just got home from work. Jose's strongest characteristics, his top three, were administration. I can see you like putting something together. Administration, faith, leadership were your highest. Discernment was fourth. Exhortation, healings, faith and healings, and hospitality, miracle service, a service heart. And then some other ones that were kind of not as strong were evangelist, helps, mercy, prophecy. So there seems to be a lot of their administration, leadership type, exhortation, right, encouraging people. I see a lot of that in a lot of what Jose has talked to me about anyway. So I think that that does a good job too. Rose. The top three for Rose was exhortation. I can see her encouraging people, definitely. Hospitality, being very welcoming. Mercy. Evangelist, faith, helps. Those were the top. Oh, and prophecy. Those were the top. And then a few extra ones, administration, giving, leadership, pastor's heart, service, teaching, wisdom. So a lot there, but the strongest one were exhortation, hospitality, mercy, evangelist, faith, helps. Okay, so that gives you some idea. All right, Nina. Nina's top four or five. Let's go with the top two. Faith. That means believing no matter what's happening. Service. Definitely see the service heart in her. Exhortation. Encouraging others. Giving. Helps. So definitely I see some of those. Evangelist. And then the ones that weren't as strong, but is evangelist, healings, miracles. So I think that's a good portrait of her. Estella. The top three for Estella was faith. Nothing's going to shake her faith. Giving, service, and wisdom, exhortation, and mercy. So those were the strongest ones that came out for Estella. Faith, giving, and service were the top three. All right. Eloy. Let's see. The top three for Eloy were mercy. I do see that. You know what mercy is like? You have this gift to have mercy on people who've wronged you. So I do see that in Eloy, where he'll get mad if you do something to him, but if you come and ask for forgiveness, it's like he'll let it go. So I think that's a gift, and it's actually something that can bring somebody to the Lord. If you can forgive and really forgive, because there's the I forgive you, but I'm not going to talk to you, right? And then there's I forgive you, and I'm going to care about you, even though you wronged me. That's, you know, people can come to the Lord because of your mercy, and that's a good gift. Mercy helps, discernment, apostle, faith, healings, knowledge, miracles, pastor. So I think those are pretty good for what I see in Eloy. Cassiano, Brother Cassiano. The top three, a gift of giving, gift of healing, gift of faith. I think those are pretty good. I see that in him. Gift of the next three, discernment, evangelist. I definitely see that. I see him go house to house when he's out there and start talking to people about Jesus. So I think I've seen that. Evangelist knowledge. He has that Bible knowledge for sure. Prophecy service helps. And then some of the other ones that are there, not as strong there. Hospitality, mercy, teaching, wisdom. So it's good. See a lot of that. Nelida. The top two for Nelida, service and giving. Exhortation, encouraging. Hospitality, pastor's heart, healings, and other ones there. Mercy, prophecy, discernment, evangelist, wisdom. But the top side was service, giving, exhortation, hospitality, and a pastor's heart. All right. Felix. Felix's strongest one came out as miracles, faith. So the whole concept of just believing, I think that does portray him. Giving, prophecy, service. So I see those in him. Evangelist, maybe one day he'll just be out there evangelizing. Healings, mercy. Evangelist is another one of those that you don't get saved and then just get that gift, right? And just go start evangelizing the world. It's, you gotta serve in the little things. All right. Victoria. Save the best for last, Victoria. No, who else hasn't gotten there? Norma? Okay, let me make sure. Oh, and Ines. Oh, Norma. Okay, three more. Victoria. Oh, Michelle. I don't know. I got to find it here. Victoria, the strongest ones for her, the top four, service. Oh, I see that in her for sure. She likes to serve. Helps, leadership, mercy. You may be thinking, no, I don't forgive easily, but sometimes these gifts, they come out when you least expect it. No, I don't know if you do or not. I was just using you as an example. Exhortation, encouraging people, wisdom, prophecy, apostle, discernment, and some other ones there. So that's what came out strong for your heart. Service, helps, leadership, mercy, wisdom. Ines. Five. Your strongest one was prophecy, speaking in behalf of God, maybe to somebody, or give them somebody a word. Knowledge, biblical knowledge, knowing what to do. Evangelist, pastor. I think that hit you right on perfect. You have a heart to shepherd people, and you do it when you're going out on the tracks. You start pastoring them, even though you don't know them. We've heard those examples. And then exhortation, faith, service, apostle, giving, and some of the other ones, helps, hospitality, mercy, teaching. So I think that's pretty good. Norma. Norma's gifts. Number one came out, service. Yeah, who always volunteers? Norma. We needed to do this in church. We need to do that. She shows up. And when she says she's going to show up, she shows up. Faith, giving, that's true. I see that in her. Evangelist, I definitely can see her proclaiming the good news of the gospel. Exhortation, encouraging others. Wow, I like those. Here it is, Michelle. The strongest ones for her, based on the answers here, was encouraging people, exhortation, faith, service, and then administration, discernment, healings, hospitality, leadership, prophecy, wisdom. So all of those were within 10 range or under for her. So I think that's good too. Casey's I read on Sunday. So here's your copy. Hers was service number. It wasn't even close. Like service was 6 and the next one was like not even like 10. Like so it was everything. I guess she answered high ones on anything dealing with service and everything else was secondary. But all the ones that came out was miracles, administration, faith, helps, wisdom. So I can see that. All right. Anybody have any comments about... Yes, go ahead, Sam. Oh, did I take it? I did not. Good question. I was so busy doing all of this to prepare, I didn't have time to take it myself. No, but I'll definitely take it. I'll let you know next week. No, the ones with the lowest number were the most indicative, right? The lowest number meant that that was the most indicative based on your answers. So from left to right, left with the strongest for your answers, for your personality, the right were a little less and less and less. Does that make sense? Okay, anybody else have a comment? Like, yeah, this is me or not? Not applicable? Yeah, no, well, they only gave you 1 through 4. So if it wasn't applicable, you put 4. Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Well, it's fair. It's just a little test. It's not an absolute. But yeah, good comment. Anybody else? Before we get to the teaching of today, and all right. Well, let's talk about gifts. Talk about gifts. I need my help to hand these out. Well, that was a fun exercise. I think I feel pressure now, Sam, that I have to do one for next week. All right. All right, let's start. Oh, let give you time to. All right. So you're an unstoppable force, right? That's what the sermon was on Sunday. Everybody has something to write with? This is week 3, and next week I'll make every effort to be here. I'm gonna do something a little different. We're not gonna do like a total lesson next week. We're going to talk a little more open and a little more different kind of lesson. But we would definitely want to meet to pray to seal all of this together. So spiritually, I believe next week is very important. Spiritually for us to feel what we've learned. But this week, we've already know the first 3 answers, right? Because every week I'm telling you, because you're not going to forget. What is ministry? Everybody knows. Service, right? So tell it in again. I'm repeating them so that we don't ever, forget. Who is called to minister? Everyone. We know that. Who has given you the ministry? God. What does God really want from you? Everything. Everything. And the new one today is, do I have a spiritual gift? Do you have one of these gifts? Absolutely. You absolutely do. And I leave the foundation of food for thoughts, and I've been adding one every week. Again, the process of serving is never more important than your daily relationship. Don't forget that. Don't ever get it confused. Don't get so busy in ministry that you forget to have closet time. That can go for anybody. That can go for pastors, worship leaders. Oh, it's all about the practice and the music, and I don't have time to get in my closet, but I definitely have time to get the next song ready. No. Closet time first. Preparation is secondary, right? So important. Foundational food for thought. Success, and this is also important. I want to repeat it again. Your success or failure in the ministry that you're in is not your responsibility. It's not yours. Don't take it personal. Closet time, relationship, that's your responsibility. As long as you're doing that, things are working out great. Things aren't working out, you figure it out, God. It's right. Where it starts getting confusing is that when you know you're not spending your time with the Lord and things start not going well, then you have doubt, confusion. For good reason, right? Because you're not spending time with the Lord. But if you're doing that, your ministry that you're called, the service that you're called, success or failure, leave it up to God. Sometimes you need to fail a few times as part of the learning process development. So very important, and worth repeating every week. Number three, do not fit God into your life story. Instead, surrender your life into God's story. It will be a masterpiece. That was last week. So the new one today, you are the only one equipped to use your spiritual gift for a specific kingdom purpose. You are uniquely gifted to do something for God's kingdom that no one else can do. That's how special this is. There's people I cannot minister to or help or serve or care that you can. You already have examples in your life who you've impacted. You are uniquely qualified, and don't ever forget that, because sometimes you wonder, you know, what am I doing or how effective can I be? No one else is gifted to make the impact that you're going to make. No one else. Answer the call. So that's an important food for thought. So we're building our service ministry on these three principles so far. Right? Read them out to me. I'm willing. Deny self. Right? And we talked about that the very first week. It's not yours. You got to deny self. And we went through that. The second one is, you're willing to go what? You're willing to ask this question. Right? Because there's times when you're doing things that aren't bad, aren't sinful, but you're not asking God if that's what you're supposed to be doing. So you're willing to ask the honest question to your heart. Is this God's will or my will? Right? And I think we have a few college-age people who are nearing college-age, high school kids that, you know, choosing a college, all of these things, those decisions shouldn't be made without a lot of prayer, right? And God, is this your will, Lord? My will? And the reasons behind it, you know. What's not a good reason to pick a college in your example is, I just want to leave home. I hear that a lot. That is not a deny self reason, right? And a lot of kids do that. They're just like, I need independence. That definitely is not. Now, there may be another reason God wants you to go, and He'll make that clear to you, but that's important. And I'm not just saying it to the ones that are in high school now, but you may know kids that's not the best reason, just to, I want to get away from my parents or whatever. But always ask those questions. And the last one, I'm willing to use my spiritual gift. Yeah, because you may learn today, maybe, or as you go along, that you have a spiritual gift, but what good is it if you're not willing, right? And all this. See, in this service ministry, see, we came to these classes because we want to answer this call for our lives. And what we're building is a foundation that in order to answer this, we got to be willing to deny self. We got to be willing to ask, is this your will, Lord? And we got to be willing to use the gifts. Right? That's the heart that you got to come through to this with. And there it says, spiritual gifts are not for your own private benefit. So fill in that underlined blank. Spiritual gifts are not for your own private benefit. You know, some people think like Samson, remember? He thought his gift was for his own glory. God has strength. And, well, he learned that God wasn't pleased and he lost his gift. And so it's not for our own benefit. Your spiritual gift is to be used for three main reasons. Write these down. One, to glorify God. Two, to serve others. And three, you have gifts for these three reasons: to build up the church. Where the Bible says edify, right? Why do you have gifts? To glorify God, to serve others, to build a church. Nowhere in here do you see anything about self. Right? But our human nature wants self to be happy. Right? I think that, how can I put this? When you begin to look outward and use your gifts like this, and when you begin to look outward, God takes care of you. You don't have to seek to put yourself on a pedestal. Humble yourself, and He will lift you up, right? Serve, that's how you're great in His kingdom. You see, the world says you got to go do it yourself. You got to go get it yourself. The Bible says, care, serve, give, and I will lift you up. See, that's how that is the Bible way. That is how God works. So, you will be noticed by people. But you always have to make sure that you keep giving God the glory and never taking it. Because when you begin to serve and you begin to be empowered, people start noticing you. And you do get a reputation. Hey, that's a man or woman of God. Or that's they're living a life. I see God in their life. It's so tempting to say, oh yeah, I'm doing good, right? The truth is that I like what Peter would do every time they said he would heal somebody, and Peter was like, oh no, don't you bow at me. Get up. It's Jesus. He didn't let them bow at him. He wouldn't let. And that's the attitude that people in service ministry have to have. You know why a lot of evangelists came down from their pedestal? Because they started taking the glory for the power of God working in their lives. They started like, yeah, we're awesome. We're doing this. We're doing that. There are many people who who served the Lord before you that didn't get to what you're going to get to in the kingdom, that deserved it far more better than you ever did. And they didn't see it. Because it's about God's timing. It's not about who's better, who's got this better. You know, it's not about that. Service ministry is a very, you're going to do this, it's humbling. Very humbling. If you want glory, if you want fame, that's why this was number one. That's why deny self is number one. But believe me, that's when you're at peace. That's when you know you're in God's perfect will. And there's nothing better than to know you're in God's perfect will. Spiritual gifts are not roles or positions in the church. These gifts we talked about, they're not like positions in the church. Like, these gifts are given by God, and they manifest themselves as you surrender to Him. Many people miss their opportunity to use their spiritual gift because of a four-letter word. Pride is good. I like that, but that's not the answer. But it's an acceptable answer. Four-letter word. Self. Someone said fear. Who said fear? How did you know? Okay. Yeah. Pride is good too. That definitely will keep you from reaching, using your spiritual. Many people miss their opportunity to use their spirit because of fear. I want to. Fear. Stepping out of the boat. Doing something a little uncomfortable. Because to use your spiritual gifts, it's not a lazy thing. You have to be intentional. You've got to take the step. You've got to start. If you have a gift of faith, right? Let's say that. And you're like, okay, let me put that to practice. Somebody's going through a hard time. Come here, let me pray with you. Let's believe God. Whoa. That could be fearful, right? But you begin to do that, not with an attitude of, I want attention. Not with an attitude of, I want this person to think I'm spiritual. None of that. If that's your intention, you're going to just come across like a symbol, right? Tinkly symbol. It's not going to sound right. But when you genuinely say, hey, you know what? Let's believe together. Let me encourage you. Let me pray. You're going through something hard. Let me pray with you. You may not even know how to pray. A lot of fear. Right? You know, younger teenagers. Can you see yourself seeing somebody crying in the room there, and you go to them, let me pray with you. And well, there's a lot of fear there, right? When's the last time you've seen that? No. There's fear there. What will people think? No. But that's what keeps us from answering the call. Only crazy people do stuff like that, right? That's what the world thinks. Well, deny self. What would make you think that? Pride. Right? You're denying self. So you got to work through these. You got to use these gifts. You got to start putting them to the test. If you don't use your gifts, you will lose your gift. Right? Use it or lose it. Hello, you have a comment? Yeah, that's right. It's without repentance. That means the call of God is without repentance. The gifts is the gifts and calls of God, is what the scripture says, is without repentance. In other words, you can't say to God, I want to change them. I want these other gifts. I don't want the ones you're giving me. I want to tell you, God, how to fit into my life. Right? That doesn't work. That's what that means. So 1 Peter 4:10, and I'll go through these pretty quickly, and we'll pray together. 1 Peter 4:10. As every man hath received the gift, who received the gift? All of you have. Even so, minister, who's called to minister? Everybody. the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If you do not use your gifts, you're a bad steward. That's how you read that, you know, in reverse, right? In inverse. A good steward uses their gifts. As every man has received a gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards the manifold grace of God. Be a good steward of your gifts. Be a good steward of your gifts. So you've come to these last 3 weeks, and I got to deny self. I got to be willing to be honest with myself. God, is this your will? Is this my will? I got to be willing to use my gifts. All of these things, it's putting them into practice. You're hearing them. But how do I actually go outside here and begin to put these into practice? Well, that's kind of what next week's going to be about. How are we going to put all this into practice? What can we do? We got an outreach coming up. We got things we need to do. Hey, let's look at some of your gifts. Who's willing to do this? Who's willing to do that? Put it into practice. And so that is so important, that we put this into practice and be a good steward. What's a good steward? Anybody know? Anybody want to define that? A good steward. Being wise has been given to you, right? Being accountable. Treating what's been given to you with care and honor, respect. How to manage it, right? In other words, don't just throw it away, cast it out. In Matthew 25, turn there, Matthew 25. Everybody knows the parable of the talents, right? So replace the word talents with gifts here, and let's read that. For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents. So let's write that down. One had 5. And to one 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1. 5, 2, and 1. Then he and had received the 5 talents, went and traded with the same and made them other 5 talents. So he gained 5 talents with the 5 talents. And likewise, the one that received 2 also gained another 2. So he gained 2 talents. But the one that received 1 talent went and dug it in the earth and hid it for his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. And so that he had received 5 talents came and bought the 5 talents, saying, Lord, here, I give you 5 talents more, and I have gained them. And the Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. He who also had 2 talents, the same thing happens. Verse 23, and the Lord said unto him, well done, I gave you 2 talents. You gave me 2 talents. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. Then he which received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew that thou art a hard man, reaping, and thou hast not sown, and gathering where thou hast not strewed. And I was afraid, fear, right? Remember the word fear. I was afraid, and I hid the talent. His Lord answered and said unto him, thou wicked and slothful, lazy servant, thou knewest that I would reap. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers and given me at least the interest. Verse 28, take therefore the talent from him and give it unto the one that has 10 talents. So this talent over here got taken away and given to this one. Because if he's been investing, he's going to go invest it with the guy who's giving him a lot of return. Take therefore the talent and give it to him with 10 talents. For unto every one that has shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath. And cast the unprofitable servant into utter darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. So the moral of this story, do not be afraid and hide the gift that God's given you. Don't be afraid. Don't be slothful, lazy. Use them. And then you'll see him do amazing things with that. And you'll be this servant here or this servant here. Right? Notice that this servant only had two, came to two, but that was fine. You may have less gifts than someone else. That's fine. Don't worry about it. Or you may have more gifts. And use them. Use them. 1 Corinthians 12. I'm going to read verse 6. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 6. And there are diversities of operations, but it's the same God which worketh all in all. There are diversities of operations. Your gifts, all of you, there's different ways to use the same gift. You may have a gift of faith, you may have a gift of faith. You don't use it exactly the same. Because God's using your personality, your strength. So don't compare yourself to other people. Don't compare yourself to other people. In verse 1 it says, now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you to be ignorant. You know that you were Gentiles carried away unto these dumb idols, even as we were led. Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say Jesus is Lord but by the Holy Ghost. Now there are diversity of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of administration, but the same Lord. It's one Spirit behind all of these gifts. One Spirit. You may use it differently, but one Spirit that empowers you to use these gifts. Okay, so let's close with these cold hard facts. You were bought with a price, at a price. Therefore, you belong to God. I think in one of the weeks somebody said, it's not your life. Deny yourself. It's not yours anyway. When you accept Jesus Christ into your heart as Lord, it's not your life. Right? That doesn't mean he wants you to go away in a mountain and wait for him. Right? No, it's just not yours now. Ask God to guide you. You are the only one equipped to use your gift for a specific kingdom purpose. We talked about that earlier. You're the only one. God gives you spiritual gifts so you can participate in what God is doing to redeem people to Him. See, why did God give you gifts? So you can participate in this empowerment of the Holy Spirit. You can participate. You're just not a spectator. You have a gift and it's empowered. And when you use it, you're participating in the kingdom plan. So he doesn't want you to just be on the sidelines. There's so many Christians that just want to sit in church and do nothing except bless me so I can go to heaven. And that's it. Please, that's not what we want. That's not what you want, or you wouldn't be here. Your gift is a manifestation of God's Holy Spirit in your life that supernaturally empowers you to serve as a member of the body of Christ. That gift in you is a manifestation of the Holy Spirit in your life. And you're supernaturally empowered to execute that gift. Start with you, with what you are asked. I'm going to end with this because it's important. How do I go forward? And we're going to finish this next week as far as now what do I do? Now, how do I put this in motion? Start with what you are asked to do to serve and see what makes your heart beat fast and what gives you passion to serve. This is what you should not do. This is what I want to do, Lord. So that's all I will do. There are so many things that I had to do early in ministry when I didn't even know I was going to be pastor that I wasn't very good at. But just serve. Serve wherever opportunities arise. Serve. Show up. Sir, you see, when you show up in things that maybe you're not so excited about, but people need, there's help needed in that area,
just do it.
And what will happen is as you're doing those little things, people will start noticing, oh, that's what they're good at. Oh, that's what they're good at. Oh, then that's where they really excel. Wow, did you see that when that person did that? Wow, they were empowered to do that. There was something different about that that you did. And people will start seeing those gifts. But so you can't just like, okay, it's like I tell college graduates now. They think that because they measured, they got a bachelor's degree in this field, that all of a sudden there's a job waiting for them to be like this executive or something. That's not how it works. But in high schools, they're telling kids, go to college, you'll be whatever you want to be. No, the reality is you get a degree and sometimes you got to go and be a cook to pay your bills. And then you work your way up, right? That's the real world that we live in. But our college kids think that if they don't get that job over there that requires a degree, then I'm not going to go work until... You know how you have tons of young people living at home with their parents that are in their 30s and 40s? There's a stat, like, this number is like... Why? Because they don't want to go work at McDonald's to make a living. Like, nobody does, right? But this is what I'm saying. Use that gift and then... Boom, 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 right? You just don't go there and become that executive in that company. So start with what you're asked to do, and then it builds from there. Okay, and next week we're going to get into some of those opportunities. So I want to open up just my 5 minutes and we'll close. But anybody have just some insight about being willing to use your gifts, spiritual gifts, service ministry, anything in the last 3 weeks, quickly. Anyone? Here.